You are listening to a Commonwealth Bank of Australia Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. This podcast provides general market-related information and is not intended to be an investment research report. The information contained in this podcast is based on previously published material, and before listening, you're advised to read the full Global Economic and Markets Research disclaimers, which can be found at combankresearch.com.au.
Welcome to the CommBank Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. My name is Belinda Allen and I'm a senior economist here at CommBank. And today I'm joined by Joseph Caperso, our head of international economics. And thanks for having a chat today, Joe.
You're welcome, Belinda.
Now, green shoots. You've just published a report on the 27th of May saying there's some green shoots on the road to recovery from the great lockdown recession. What green shoots are we talking about and how fast can this recovery be?
Yes, it is a bit of a tongue twister, that one. in terms of the green shoots, we've clearly seen a recovery in China. So some of the green shoots we see there is that industrial production has recovered more or less to where it was in December of last year. So that's shown a very strong V-shaped recovery. Also in China, investment is recovering at a fast clip as well, particularly infrastructure spending. And I pull out infrastructure spending because it's very commodity intensive, and that's important for countries like Australia that dig out a lot of commodity.
We sure do dig out a lot of commodities and particularly export them to China. Around 40% of our exports do end up in China and into that production process. Now, when you've had a look at your global growth forecast, you're sticking with a 3.2% contraction in 2020 and then a recovery of 4.3% in 2021. Is the worst of us behind us in 2020? Before I start to talk about 2021, let's just focus on 2020. I know in Australia, April kind of looks like the worst. Is that kind of the trend we're seeing globally as well?
That's right. For most economies we look at, April will be the worst month for most of the economic indicators. There is an exception, of course, and that is China. For China, February was probably the worst month. And you've now seen a pretty robust recovery in part in China. But for other places, April's probably going to be the worst. You might get a little bit worse in Japan in May, mainly because Japan went into the lockdown a little bit later than other countries. But I'm reasonably confident we're now sitting in June that we are going to see improving economic data from now on.
But you're still not confident that we'll get a speedy recovery. You have certainly talked and emphasised the fact that this recovery will be slow. What are some of the factors that will drive a slow recovery?
Yeah, there's a number of factors. And it really boils down, I think, to unemployment. We know unemployment has skyrocketed in most countries that we monitor. And unemployment typically takes a very long time to fall after the recession ends. And it's for a couple of different reasons. And one of them is some businesses are simply not going to reopen once the lockdowns have ended. And that means their former employees are going to be out of work for some time. And they are going to take some time to find new work, and they may have to find new skills to work in other industries. So it is going to be a long process, I think.
And I think that also brings up the point about not all countries have the same, and those unemployed have the same access to government welfare payments as well, or a lack of safety net, a lack of savings. Does that factor into your view of a slow recovery?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, for most economies, people that are newly unemployed, not all of them are going to have access to government welfare. A lot of them will, but it is very spotty. in terms of the coverage of unemployment benefits. And you see this in particular in America, where it's state governments that decide the rules on who is and who is not eligible for unemployment benefits. And so in some states of America, it might be 80% of people are eligible for unemployment benefits, and in other states, it might only be 20 or 30%. So it's going to be, I think, quite a spotty recovery, even in America, which is, let's face it, a very dynamic and flexible economy.
One of the other big thematics and talking points we've seen here in Australia, and obviously globally as well, is a big fall in tourism. So in Australia, the borders have been locked down since March for non-residents, and similar things have been happening across the world as well. How much does a lack of international tourism and a lack of immigration feed through into your slow recovery view on the global economy?
Yeah, it's going to be particularly big for some countries. So for countries that are large recipients of both immigrants and tourists, and the UK, Australia and New Zealand come to mind there, if those borders are shut, let's say, to the end of the year, then you actually are talking about quite a large part of your economic growth rate is just not going to be there for quite a number of more months. So it's going to be a real headwind to the economic recovery. And if you're working in the tourism industry, you are going to have to look for work in another industry if the tourists don't return fairly soon.
Now, I know in Australia, around two-thirds of our population growth is driven by net overseas immigration. So that really can slow our population growth down from around 1.5% where it has been down to just 0.5%. And that's going to have wide-ranging consequences for a number of industries, including housing, construction, and other industries as well. Now, one of the other factors that you've been talking about as well is cost-cutting.
Yeah, that's right. So one of the reasons we think you'll get a slow recovery is that many businesses will cut costs to make up for their loss of revenue to restore their profits. Now, that's very good for efficiency in the long run, but in the short run, one business's cost reduction is another business's income reduction. So we need to be quite careful that we don't fall into a downward spiral of cost cutting. We've seen this in Japan in recent decades, where businesses just cut wages, and then that cuts spending, and then that cuts wages, and you get this big downward spiral. And it can be very difficult to stop the downward spiral. Central banks and governments need to be very strong in their stimulus measures to stop that kind of downward spiral that can result.
Now, one of the other major uncertainties when we kind of think about the pace of recovery globally is just how much household or consumer behaviour will change, how much of the work from home, the change in work patterns, not going into city centres to work will actually change, I guess, industry composition and how we spend. How does that feed through into your view?
Yeah, for me, this is the biggest uncertainty is how consumer behaviour changes. And we've already got some insight by the Chinese retail sales data. Chinese retail sales fell more than 10% in February, and they've hardly recovered since. So that, to me, is saying, at least to date, at least in the March and April data, that consumer caution is still there, and it is not overcome in a matter of weeks. So it looks like it's going to take at least a month for people to overcome their fear of catching the virus. Now, of course, there is another element to why Chinese retail sales are so weak, and that is that, in large part, the Chinese government's economic stimulus measures favour investment rather than consumer spending. And in other countries, you've got more of a focus on consumer spending rather than investment. So you still may see a recovery in retail sales in other countries.
Now, the final theme that I think is one of the most fascinating is reshoring. So I guess, you know, for our listeners, we did see a big offshoring of manufacturing capabilities from advanced economies over the past 10, 20, even 30 years. When this health crisis first started, there was a lot of concern the fact that there wasn't a readily available supply of medical supplies. Do you think that we could be in for a change to offshoring, and you've termed that reshoring?
Yeah, look, the pandemic may well be a catalyst for an acceleration in reshoring, but I think reshoring was going to happen anyway. And the reason that I say that is because automation and robotics and the like have reduced the advantage of low-cost labour in developing economies compared to production in more expensive advanced economies. So we've already seen a little bit of reshoring going on before the pandemic, and the pandemic may well accelerate that. For example, I can see that there will be some reshoring of production of medicines and medical equipment in various advanced economies. Now, that has the advantage of reducing supply chains, so there's less waiting time if something doesn't have to be put on a ship and shipped around the world. So there is some benefits there. But overall, we need to be careful not to force reshoring too much, because if you do that, you may end up just raising the cost of production. Now, you may be willing to accept a higher cost of production for medicines and medical equipment, but you may not be willing to bear that for all the other consumer durables like shoes and clothes and cars and the like, which are generally a much larger component of people's total spending.
It's certainly interesting, because us economists, I guess when the coronavirus first happened, were concerned and watching the immediate data quite closely. But I think having this discussion today just reminds us that this could actually change some things permanently. So watching these longer term trends will be just as important. Appreciate your insights today, Joe.
You're welcome, Linda.
Now, Joe's report, Green Shoots on the Road to Recovery from the Great Lockdown, was first published on the 27th of May, and you can find it on combankresearch.com.au.